You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Good Antonio and Merrick.
Hi, how are you?
First We're time great. Bowler, how are you?
Huge fan.
Antonio, let's see how big of a fan you are. Where did Rick go to college?
Rick went to college.
Or they beat Glor. Did he go to Glor or Nazareth Tabone or Boston University?
Nazareth Tabone.
I'll go with A.
You'll go with Glor. Or they beat Glor. Big fan of the show.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Oh, this is so stressful. I don't like it.
Oh, why do you have to talk like that?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Santiago admonished me for asking that guy a question.
Let the song breathe a little bit, would you please?
You know what? Do me a favor. If you want to drive the show, you drive the show. If I want to step right, I'll scream over the song. I'll sing it instead of, you want to drink some tequila? Let's have tequila together. Garbage song.
Yeah, garbage host.
Garbage song. Really, this is a you know what? I'm done. Go ahead, take the next hour. Let's see how long
get
you
last. Get me Ari Gold. RJ, call up Ari Gold.
let's take applications for your new co-host, okay?
I won't have to speak for 3 hours.
Adam Gold rattled you.
I want him on the phone.
Why don't you do it a day I'm not here?
No, I'm not. I'm gonna do that by myself.
Which will be many days in the not so distant future. By the way, you keep this up.
I would have hung up on that interview 3 minutes in.
You do a lot of interviews. First question. If you did that interview and they asked you back, would you say I'm done? I'm not coming back.
I would have said, hey, I'm just, you know what? You can ask yourself the questions. I'm gonna tap out. I got a lot of things.
Minute 45 question.
But he didn't ask a question in the minute 45. He asked himself a question.
So what do you think about game one? Thanks, Adam, for that. I thought they had opportunities all over. How about game two? Glad you asked me about that. I mean, it was like an open to a show.
It
was a good game from RJ, though.
I really enjoyed that.
I mean, it was a very good job by him. And when RJ's not great, I call him out on it, but he was great. Let's start the audio. We'll listen to 15 seconds. We'll pot it down. We'll now have conversation. We'll ask questions. We'll pot it back up. Will he still be talking? Absolutely.
They get in a conversation, Joe Judge and Dave and Adam Gold. How long does that conversation go?
It goes forever.
I just don't understand. Like, this is, I mean, you're a host of a radio show that called to ask somebody, can you come on the show as my guest? And you don't ask the guest a question or let him speak for what was that? That was like, what, 4 minutes of the interview, probably?
RJ said it was a full minute 45. Could you imagine, when we're going to have Buster only on at 7:35 this morning, if we had Buster on and it took a minute 45 for us to go from his first answer to asking him a second question? RJ would be apoplectic. He'd be screaming.
Yeah, after the show, he would. Yeah, we would be told after
when we couldn't. I'm in the middle of. So, Dave, what do you think about the Yankees injuries? Well, Dave, I'm glad you asked me that question. And if I'm answering the question, RJ would be like, "Ask Buster a question." He would go. RJ would go nuts.
It's a fluke. It's razor thin. Should have Pesci got the shot away? Yes, he should have got the shot away. Was it a good save? Yes, it was a good save. But he should have never had the opportunity to make the save.
Do you think he forgot you were there at one point? Like, you started talking.
He had to have.
Just, oh my God! Who? Oh yeah, Dave.
It's funny. You know who was on the show earlier in the day? Earlier in the show was Jay Williams.
Well, they're hanging out down there, aren't they?
Yeah, they're down doing their show from 99 FM in Raleigh. I wonder if.
I bet he got room to roam.
You think? Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's a lack of respect.
Or he just took it. Yeah, or he just took it.
But I tried to take it, and I couldn't.
You should have just started singing.
You want to drink some tequila?
You are just a treat.
I mean, my God. The guy comes on talking about, I got to drink tequila. I'm so thirsty. Nice song. Blah, blah, blah. You want to drink some tequila? Let's have tequila together.
That's the problem with all your drops, though. Yeah, like you say, I instantly start laughing. It's like every drop has me laughing in it.
But why is that bad?
No, but for the drop, it's bad.
No, I don't think so.
I think it adds to it.
Like, yeah, I think it adds some flavor.
You want to drink some tequila?
I mean, what's that guy's name? That the guy.
You
want to
drink
disaster?
Some tequila?
How's this, Santi? Play the song again.
It's When I Taste Tequila.
Oh, let me hear it again.
Hang on.
You can't
when
have a car.
I taste tequila.
And who is this? This is like Dan Blake Shelton or someone?
No, it's Dan and Shay.
Did you say Blake Shelton?
Yeah, he doesn't know. But what's wrong with you?
Dan O'Shea?
Dan?
Like an Irish guy singing about that?
Yeah, he sounds Irish. Dan and Shay.
Dan and Shay? That was two guys?
It's a duo, yes.
Oh. Well, that's nice.
Now it's a trio.
You want to drink some tequila?
Dave, Dan, and Shay. Okay, this is big news though. So he's got to collab with Dan and Shay. He's already going with Katy Perry.
Oh, I could sing the
roar.
Yeah, that's right.
This guy is, I mean, maybe I lose him to the music industry. Who knows?
You might, but I won't leave you. Because I unlike you, who says, oh, if the K show calls, I'm up and out of here.
And you're gonna hear me
roar.
I won't leave you. I won't leave you. No, in spite of how mean you are to me, I'm not leaving. I'm locked.
Well, that's because you realize the grass isn't greener. I mean, you just put yourself in a 15 minutes of radio.
You just
hell.
Tasted what the other side is.
Yeah, yes,
it's true. You could have me who makes fun of you nonstop, or you could have this where you're not allowed to speak.
Exactly. Right.
You choose your own adventure here.
Oh, that was.
Yeah, there's a lot to handle. Or we could maybe I'll join up with I'll make a DDS. Dave, Dan, and Shay.
You want to drink some tequila?
DPHR Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, Alice in Chains. I can join them as well. We'll give away some Alice in Chains tickets in just a couple moments. Oh, and yeah. Breaking Benjamin. All that's coming your way. Dan O'Shea, they're big.
No, they're really big. It's Dan Ash. They got a bunch of really good songs.
Honestly, like that. Like if you walk down the street and said to the average person, "Have you heard of Dan and Shay?" They'd be like,
"You want to drink some tequila?"
Yeah, Dan and Shay is huge. Play another song. I mean, you got to have some more Dan.
He doesn't have anything else.
They've done a song with Justin Bieber.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
And the Biebs. All right. Can we get to the Yankees, please?
I've been waiting.
Well, I'm sorry. You set me up to sing. And you know, once you give me room to sing, God knows what happens.
I'll give you as much room as you need. I'm not like this Dan Gold or whatever the hell his name is.
It's Adam Gold.
Whatever the hell his name is.
He's a New Yorker. He's a staple now in Raleigh Sports Talk Radio.
He's a hack.
You don't like him?
No.
I like it. All right. So, Yankees. Win again. 31-13. Now they go to Tampa. 4-game set. I need the starting pitching to step up because I don't know what I'm going to get from this offense. I don't know when Donaldson's going to be back, right? I don't know when LeMahieu's going to be back. Obviously, I don't have Stanton for a while. So I need my starting pitching to be really, really good over the next 4 days.
It has been good.
It's been great. Outside of that one start from Garrett Cole against Baltimore.
Well, it's the one inning, yeah. I mean, you asked me that question earlier in the show. Who am I more concerned about moving forward here over the next month? The Mets or the Yankees.
Right.
And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I mean, Bassett got smacked around.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Bassett. He's only been smacked around by the Giants.
That's it.
Right?
No, I know.
Every other start, he's been really good.
No, I know, but I don't necessarily, I mean, do I fully trust their bullpen, too? That's the other thing.
The Mets bullpen?
Yeah, like as banged up as the Yankees bullpen is, you still got... I mean, Clay Holmes has been lights out. Like, you still have...
And I hate to bring this up, but you know, Diaz was so awful the other night. Is that just a blip, or I hope we're not walking down the road where Diaz is not going to be good.
Don't do that.
I have to bring it up.
I know, but don't do that. I can't. I'm not ready for that yet.
And I'm not there where I don't think he's going to be fine, but that was a really bad performance.
It wasn't great, no. It wasn't great, because it wasn't just a save. Like, it was you lost. Like, save's bad enough, and then now it turns from, okay, we just blew the save, to now we lost.
Right. And remember, leadoff hit, then double play, and then it's like, all right, whew. And then walk, hit.
See, it's the walks, though. The walks kill me with him. Kill me with him.
Did you see what your guy Zapucki did yesterday, by the way?
Oh, I watched
the first home run.
Oh, I watched. He pointed up.
He pointed up to, like, oh, that's a pop. That should be a pop.
Can of corn.
Pop.
Somebody get to it.
Yeah, and then right over the center field fence.
Come here, my little Zapucki. Yeah, but I was so aggravated, though, because I don't want to say I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Yeah, but it's just like, there was obviously like, okay, this is not. This isn't great. Like, yeah, this humongous comeback, great, and now it's Zapucki going here into the final game of the series, and you felt like you missed an opportunity. Like, should you have been in that game? No, I'm not going to sit here and say you should have been in that game, but you did. You got into the game and you took the lead.
I don't think losing a game with Zapucki on the mound is remotely upsetting. What I think is that they didn't play to win as well as they could have the night before. And
exactly,
listen,
right.
I think he's great. I think that's on Buck.
I agree with that. I think he's great. I question why are we going to even pretend like we need to save arms? Who knows what that game could look like? An inning or two into it,
and an inning and a third into it, the game was over.
It was over.
So if you had Rodriguez, didn't matter. Didn't matter who you had. In fact, you didn't need any of your bullpen. In fact, I will even go this far. I don't even think losing a game like that is the worst thing in the world. In some ways, you'd rather lose a game like that, where now you know you're done and you have no chance, rather than lose a game like you did the night before, where you have to, you know, extend everybody. It goes for everything. You have a chance to win, and then it blows up in your face.
Exactly right. Knowing that you have a day off today anyway.
Right.
Like, I'm all in to win that game. We make this miraculous comeback. We got the lead. All right, I'm all in. Let's just win this one. Worry about tomorrow. We may not have to use any of our high leverage guys because the game could be over.
And that's exactly how it played out. So you didn't need any of your high leverage guys, yet you didn't use them appropriately the night before. So, yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah, I didn't like it. It's only the second series that they've lost, so we're not going to sit here and get too upset about it.
I don't think at one moment today on the show we have shown panic. We said Buck had a bad moment. The team should have won a game on Tuesday. They didn't. Then they got hammered yesterday. It happens, and we move on. But it doesn't mean we can't critique it.
No, exactly right.
And that's what we've done.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Smyers and Shea Mooney.
10,000 more.
They're like poppy.
Pop country, yeah.
Pop country. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, maybe you should expand your horizons a little bit.
Maybe I should. That song, not so good.
You couldn't tell. That was the Bieber one. You couldn't tell that Santiago was just raising the volume as you were trying to talk.
I know. Listen, I understand my place on the show.
Oh, God.
I know who I'm the scapegoat.
You
want
to drink some tequila?
I'm the singer. I'm the scapegoat. That's who I am on the show.
Yeah, that's who you are.
I know how it works.
I think if you went out, I think if you went out of the street and just yelled that, you might get arrested.
Right, you should take a step back and realize how good you have it here after your experience yesterday, right?
When I was steamrolled down in Raleigh.
Yeah, we treat you like a superstar on the show.
And that was a lot to handle.
Too much for anyone, really.
A minute 45, huh?
I can't imagine he gets any more guests.
He packs it with guests.
Well, why? So he feels like he has someone to talk to? I don't understand. He doesn't ask any questions.
I don't know. Imagine he just goes on. Dave, give me a yes or no answer, then I'll start up again. Right?
Dave, now you ask me a question. I ask myself.
Yeah, we'll go back and forth. I mean, he just was rambling. It was
quick. Dave, interview me. Interview me.
Yeah, yeah. Role play. Ask me. Here's what's gonna happen. I'll send you a list of questions. You ask these to me. Let's get to some of the calls. Let's go to Bob in Albany. Good morning, Bob. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Love the show. Big Yankee fan. But I think the Yankees worry me the most. Couple of reasons. One is, you know, the Mets play in the only division, I think, with one team over 500. That might have changed. I don't follow the Mets as closely as the Yankees. Yankees play in a division with really two very good teams in their division. And the Red Sox.
True, Bob, but the Mets do play with – they play with the World Series champions also, right, in Atlanta?
They do, yeah.
So you're right. Atlanta's gotten off to a slow start, but I don't think the expectation is that Atlanta's going to be a sub 500 team this season.
Yeah, but the other thing that concerns me is the Josh Donaldson situation. Where I see that very could be a situation where they have to move him. I don't know how the players play with somebody like that.
To where?
Move where?
The guy's making $25 million a year for the remainder of this year and next year.
Yeah. Unless
the Yankees pick up all of the money, who would take on Josh Donaldson?
Yeah, I agree. But with his, you know, I think it's under the radar a little bit what he did. And, you know, it's hard to play with a guy like that. I think it was baiting Anderson and I think, you know, it's not a good thing. It's just
overall.
Maybe the Yankees release him.
What? And they're not going to release him. What do you mean under the radar? I mean, it was a lead story all over the place for days.
I think what he means is how divisive that could be in the Yankees club.
I think it could be also.
Well, I mean, you heard how Aaron Judge responded to it.
He wasn't happy about it.
No, of course he wasn't. See, that's the other thing, though. You say,
of course he wasn't, but I've heard a ton of people saying that Donaldson did nothing wrong.
Which is amazing to me that you could get on the radio not knowing the guy or being in that clubhouse or any clubhouse ever with Josh Donaldson and defend what he said when former teammates and his teammates now. Like for example, if we're on this show, and I've known you for a really long time, what is it, like 7, 8 years or whatever, and we work together every single day, you know, text, talk every single day, and you said something to a caller, for example, because the caller calls you, says something nasty, whatever, you guys go back and forth, you said something that you thought was supposed to be funny, but wasn't funny. Caller gets offended by it, and it's this big story. Things blow up. Like, knowing you the way I know you, my first thought would be, I'm going to defend Dave. Like, I'm going to defend him. Like, listen, it's not what he meant. Like, he made a mistake, but that's not what I can promise you that's not what he meant. That's not who he is. You didn't hear any of that for Josh Donaldson at all.
I didn't hear anybody that's his current teammate. And then I heard a lot of, well, he's brand new. They don't know him that well. I didn't hear any former teammate. I didn't hear Liam Hendricks. I didn't hear one guy come out and defend Josh Donaldson. Not one.
Like, that's not who he is. That's not what's in his heart. Like, he made a mistake. He was trying to agitate. Like, none, I just, like, I don't know. And then for Tony La Russa to react the way that he reacted, like, to just think that Tony La Russa came out and said that without talking to Tim Anderson. Like, no, you know what I mean? Like, that's your job as a manager. Like, what just happened? Tell me what happened.
I'm sure he talked to him. 100% positive that he talked to him. Now, Tim Anderson was on with Bomani Jones. It's called The Right Time. And he gave his explanation. He said he thought he already made the point clear to Donaldson that this was not okay.
It wasn't a joke. We were serious. When I get mad, you know, I don't really be bothering people, man. I be standing myself and just, you know, doing my thing. I don't really pick with people. And, you know, yeah, it's just one of those things that, you know, that did. with me a little bit. And, you know, I ain't really like it. And I didn't really want to play like that after I already addressed it. And, you know, it don't happen again for 2 or 3 years in Minnesota. But yeah, you get to New York, you know, now you want to push the button again after I already addressed it and told you that, you know, that ain't the vibe. That ain't cool.
He brought it right back up.
Well, see, that's what it is, though, too. It's like you can't tell someone how they feel or how they're supposed to take something. That's the issue. Like, you can try to, like, I mean, whatever you want to think about why he said it. I mean, you heard his explanation. And I guess, I mean, the way he explains it, if I'm a friend of Tim Anderson's, I'm on his team, like, maybe I bust his chops, too. But, I mean, if the guy already told you, hey, like, listen, enough. Like, I know what you're trying to do, enough. Like, I don't treat me like that. And you keep doing it, then you're opening yourself up to have this happen.
And now here we are. But I think he's right. I think that this idea that it's a one-game suspension, he'll appeal it, and either he wins it or he loses it and sits out the one game, and then this thing just goes into the ether. I don't know about that. When you have your clear leader, Aaron Judge, who is unhappy with the situation, you know, again, you brought up a good point. What do? You can't move on from him. You're not going to cut him. So unless you determine...
But the other thing, too, you got to imagine, though, right, Dave? It's like, you covering teams for as long as you cover teams. Like, you know how small the hockey world is, or whatever the sport is. Like, how, I mean, guys talk. Guys know. Like, it's easy to pick up the phone and say, hey, what's the story with this guy?
And you know what? It's not like he's great. If he was great, there'd be a team that would be willing to, you know what, we'll roll the dice because he's going to hit 40 and 120. So even if he's a bad guy, and I'm not saying he is, but even if he is, then we can figure out a way to make that work. But you're not getting that production from him at this point.
No, and it's definitely a distraction. I mean, you saw what was happening at Yankee Stadium. I mean, it's definitely not something the Yankees want to be dealing with right now.
Let's quickly go to Teddy in Lindenhurst. Good morning, Ted. You're on 98.7.
So the Yankees are 31-13.
Right.
And we have a tough stretch coming up. We're playing 28 out of 30 games. Is it inconceivable that the Yankees go 10-18? With the injury bug right now, and we're 10 games above 500, and then we get the Red Sox in July for 6 games, and now our huge lead is diminished.
Well, a couple things. Is it?
I would be more concerned about the 4 that you have this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a huge lead, to be honest with you. Now, I mean, was it 4.5? I don't consider 4.5 to be huge. I disagree with a couple of points that he made. So 4.5, I don't think is huge. 10-18 feels like if they go 10-18, I'd be surprised. I think they're better than that. It's not out of the realm of possibility. But then why is 6 games in July against the Red Sox like this daunting thing hanging over your head also? So I think he was kind of all over the place with that.
No, I would be more concerned with what happens now, this 4-game stretch we're on right now.
Go split. Like, that's all I'm asking. Go down there, play 4, go 2-2, come home for the Angels, you're fine. Just don't get hammered down there in Tampa.
No, listen. But, I mean, right now we're looking at 4.5. And, again, we're already getting calls. They've won 31 games. And we're already getting phone calls with Gallo stinks, Hicks stinks, I'm nervous. We just took that phone call where, you know, 10-18, and then they got the Red Sox. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Like, all this doom and gloom.
At 31-13.
At 31-13, you go to Tampa this. I mean, you go to Tampa for these 4 and you lose 3 or 4. And all of a sudden you're looking at.
2.5 game lead.
Not 2.5. Game. Yeah, 2.5 game lead. Then, I mean. Because it just feels like with the start that the Yankees got off to, we haven't been talking about Tampa. Toronto's kind of been a little bit disappointing for what we thought they would be. That you're sitting here looking at it, 31-13, and you're 4.5 up playing them 4 games now with everyone hurt.
Yeah, it wouldn't be great.
Spot.
Two and a half, no good. Absolutely no good.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
That first one when the guy's drinking shots of tequila was not bad, but this other stuff is it's not so good.
You want to drink some tequila?
All right, I apologize because he doesn't need to hear this. Buster Olney, he's used to, like, he's highbrow. He's important, and he doesn't want to be brought down to the depths that we bring it down to. He is our favorite, and we bring him in right here on 98.7 ESPN. Buster, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay, although I must say, if you can play music in the morning, it's got to get you going.
Thank you.
It's got to get you going. And that right there, I just didn't feel it at all.
Rick?
What do you want, Buster? Tell me what you want. Santiago, play Buster something to get him going. Get him fired up. Get him into this interview, please.
Something. Yeah. Get you going. Like,
thank
adrenaline.
You.
Let's go.
Roar! That didn't do it either, did it, Buster?
No. What are we doing here?
Buster, this is what I have to deal with every single day with these guys. And they make me out to be the bad guy.
Okay. Whoever's picking the music... And I'm not completely clear on that. I think that person needs to step away from the panel, okay, and understand about morning adrenaline.
Brings
Santi's
up great points.
You out.
Wow.
Calling you out.
You know,
yeah, Ray, what do you say?
I didn't have been called out by Buster Olney on my checklist today, but I guess I'll wear that one.
That's
what
right.
Do you want to hear, Buster? Next time you're on, I'll make sure that you get what you're looking for.
No, I'm not working with you now. I'm
wow.
just saying you just got to step away for the, you know,
You completely turned off, Buster. Completely turned. All right, Buster. Yeah. Listen, we're going to try to bring you back into a good state. You know what's weird? Yankees are 31-13. Best record in baseball, yet it feels like there's this air of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Do you feel that around this team right now?
Yes, because their issues are acute at the moment, right? There's no doubt about it. And the rotation has been such an important part of what's going on and continues to be an important part of what's going on. But every team inevitably gets hit by injuries. And that feels like the last line of defense in terms of what they're dealing with. Their bullpen is, you know, performance-wise, has been so phenomenal this year. But that group is going through enormous change right now with all the injuries and, you know, Roldis Chapman struggling. And the everyday lineup now is so depleted with guys going down. You know, that's why the start and, you know, the fact that they've you know, gotten such an advantage in the American League East, it's going to be important because they're going to need that margin for error.
All right, Buster, I'm not going to ask you whether or not he's still going to be a Yankee after the season, but I want to ask you this. With the start he's off to, where would you put Aaron Judge as far as best in baseball right now?
Well, he's in the top three. You know, I think the conversation right now is who's the best player in 2022. It's one of three guys. It's either Manny Machado, who would be my pick, having an incredible season for the Padres, offensively, defensively, you know, holding up that team. You got Mike Trout. Now that he's healthy, he's back on the field. He continues to get better. And Aaron Judge. You know, those right now, I think the American League MVP would come down to a vote between Judge and Trout. And I would pick Aaron, especially given the fact that he has, in recent weeks, absolutely been carrying this team to the degree with, you know, Stanton going down and LeMahieu going down. You wonder at some point, opposing managers, pitchers, catchers are going to go, you know what, we're just not going to pitch to that guy. We're going to make one of the other guys in this depleted lineup beat us, and we're going to start, you know, making Aaron Judge take walks because we're not going to throw to him. He's been incredible to watch.
It's funny you say that. I mentioned it early on the show, and Buster Olney with us here, 98.7 ESPN. At what point does he start getting the Barry Bonds treatment of, I'm sorry, especially now with Stanton out? I mean, Buster, think about it. If Rizzo hits after him, if Glaber, I mean, these guys are, Rizzo's hitting like 230, Glaber's hitting 240. If they beat you, they beat you. But if I'm an opposing manager, if I'm cashed down at Tampa right now, the last thing that the headlines are going to say when the series finishes, in my mind on Sunday, is Aaron Judge had a monster weekend. I can't let that happen.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, I think especially in a circumstance where they are now, with Stanton out, with Rizzo, you know, who's been terrific at Yankee Stadium, got off to a good start, but as you say, his numbers have come down. If Aaron Judge doesn't get protection from in front of him, if you don't have runners getting on base in front of him and the pitcher's basically backed into a corner to work to him, I'm with you. I'm just not going to throw him strikes. I'm going to throw pitches out of the zone, and if he walks, I'll live with that. Because, you know, what he's been doing when you throw the ball in the zone has been incredible. I do think that he probably that other teams will begin to give him that Barry Bonds treatment.
Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, last one for me about the Yankees. Have you heard anything as to how the old Josh Donaldson thing has gone over inside the Yankees clubhouse? Because that's where I would be the most concerned. Like the stuff with, you know, Tim Anderson and everything else, but you got to be around the guys in your clubhouse every single day. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I think their guys in there aren't happy about it. Do I think it's something that is going to be like an issue going forward? No, I don't. I mean, let's face it, Josh, wherever he's played, he's always been a polarizing figure. You know, there are guys on teams that really like him, and then there are guys on teams he's played with who get annoyed by him. I remember when he was with the Atlanta Braves talking with a member of that team early in that season. I'm like, hey, you know, how's it going with Donaldson? And he talked about how Donaldson was driving some of the other players crazy. By the end, they liked him a lot more. You know, the fact that he brings intensity. But I must say, I was absolutely shocked that on Sunday afternoon, we had Sunday Night Baseball last weekend, so I was there before, you know, the first game of the doubleheader. I was shocked that Donaldson didn't hold some press availability and go into the room and say to reporters, look, you know what, upon reflection, I made a mistake. I went too far. This was wrong. And he's extended that defensiveness by appealing that decision, which has raised eyebrows not only, you know, around baseball, but also within the Yankees organization. Like, dude, don't you get it? You know, I think what breaks my heart a little bit for Tim Anderson is that he has to deal with this because it's something that Josh Donaldson said. You know, deal with what he had to deal with on the field. He's got reporters coming up to him after the game on Saturday. He's got fans chanting Jackie at him. And you guys know this. He's going to be hearing that the rest of his career. The fact that he has to deal with that because it's something Josh said, that alone should be reason enough for Josh to go to him and say, look, I screwed up and I'm really sorry.
I agree with you. Buster only joining us here, 98.7 ESPN. So let's turn our attention to the Mets a little bit. Are they okay? I mean, they have a comfortable lead. We know that. But the upcoming schedule is nothing short of daunting. And, you know, Scherzer's going to be out for an extended period of time. We don't know about McGill. You know, Trevor May is out. Of course, DeGrom, that's always an issue. Do they have enough pitching starting-wise and bullpen-wise to be okay and get through this rough schedule coming up?
Isn't it amazing that both teams feel like they're – New York teams feel like they're in the same spot? Like, this great start for both teams has bought them some margin for error that they can work with, and I think both teams are going to need it. The Mets, I've you know, done some reporting on this week about their feeling about their rotation. You know, they feel like that they'll be able to hold down the fort until the DeGrom gets back and Scherzer gets back. And when we get into July – and they start talking to other teams, sellers, about possibly adding. They feel like they're in a good spot. There is optimism within the organization that DeGrom is going to come back and have an impact. You know, I would say this. Whenever he does come back, it'll basically be a calendar year since the last time he pitched in the big leagues. But from what I understand, he's been increasing his velocity in the throwing that he's doing. He's lengthening out in the distance that he's throwing from. So he's building, and they feel good about that. And with Max, I'm sure that they're going to tell him, as an older player with a rib cage injury, look, make sure you take your time. And Max knows his body well, and he'll be able to do that. And I think when we get to early July, mid-July, we know this. Steve Cohen is going to ask Billy Epler, look, what do you need? And if they need a starting pitcher, they'll do it. Other teams are telling me they feel like the Mets have a tremendous advantage in the trade market because Cohen is demonstrated he's willing to take on money. You know, in spring training, they were talking about trading for Chris Paddock of the Padres and taking on Eric Hosmer's salary. That's an indicator of what we're going to see this year, where they're going to try to make deals without cutting into their farm system. And if you're willing to take on bad money, dead money, then you're going to be able to get stuff done.
Buster, did the Atlanta Braves figure this thing out?
I think they will. You know, the one difference, there's no question. I've talked to some Braves people about this. When you watch them play, and Matt Olson, who they brought in a trade after they knew Freddie Freeman was going to leave, he's a really good player, but on a day-in and day-out basis, he's not the same type of hitter as Freddie. Freddie, as you guys know, was a grind-it-out, you know, he'd take the ball to left center field as a left-handed hitter, great at-bats against great pitchers every day. That consistency has been missed this year. They've had a lot of guys go up and down from Austin Riley. Ronald Acuna Jr.'s come back. He's had some injuries. But I do think there's so much talent there, and they have that confidence that they can draw on from last year. And, you know, Alex Anthopoulos, their general manager, demonstrated last year he's willing to go out and make trades himself. So if they need an outfielder, and it feels like that they might, they'll go and do stuff. They've got good pitching. I think they've got a good bullpen. Acuna at some point is going to take off, but they need more consistency in their everyday lineup.
So let me ask you this. We're late in May, and you talk about, you know, we get to July and Steve Cohen will bring on salary. Do you think necessarily that we're going to wait that long? Like, I mean, there's so many teams that just, Buster, they stink. Like Cincinnati, you can go through the league. I mean, Baltimore and Kansas City and just team after team after team that are really, for lack of a better term, out of contention already. Like, do you think that there might be an advantage to take a jump now and try to get a trade done, or is it just too early?
You could, but I will tell you that the perception of general managers is that you're paying above retail, you know, where you're giving an extra 40% of value. Now, if you're Steve Cohen, maybe you don't care. You feel like if there's a trade to be made, you do that. But one thing to keep in mind this year is that the draft is not being held in early June as it has been in the past. It's being held on July 17th. And that typically dictates the calendar of how teams focus on trades. And so what I get back from the general managers is they really don't think that, you know, a lot of the trade stuff and the trade conversation will pick up till around the All-Star break in mid-July. And, yeah, you could be aggressive, call the Reds, call the Orioles, say, look, we want to make a deal for this guy. But it doesn't feel like there's necessarily a lot of anticipation that's going to happen. It didn't last year. You know, you remember at the All-Star break is when the Braves traded for Jock Peterson and kicked off a lot of the activity after that. Leading up to that, we thought some teams would make moves, and they really didn't.
Yeah, we saw about just as much of Jock Peterson as we need to see here over the last couple of days as Mets fans. I'm all set with Jock Peterson. Buster, for me, having played and had, you know, a bunch of different coaches and everything else, a guy like Buck, I feel like Buck Showalter is someone that I would really enjoy playing for, and it seems like this team really enjoys playing for him. They all like each other. They, you know, surprise birthday party and everything else for him. Does this success that Buck's having with this team maybe change people's around Major League Baseball's thoughts as to, you know, what these teams need manager-wise, like the experience plus the analytics as opposed to just the guy who's going to feed the analytics to the players?
Absolutely. In fact, I think that what Showalter's doing with the Mets and what Bob Melvin's doing with the Padres is taking, you know, how that seesaw back the other way. You know, for years, I think teams have felt like, look, we want a manager who's an extension of the front office, and we don't really care if that person has, you know, credibility in the big leagues. We feel like we just want someone to work with. But I don't think there's any doubt what's gone on in recent years. It's been demonstrated that if you want your manager to have credibility in the eyes of the players, he better have something on the back of his baseball card. He better have a resume. Jace Tingler's a great baseball guy. But as manager of the Padres, because he didn't have big league experience, he kind of got run over by the players. Like, the players didn't view him as someone that they necessarily treated with any credibility. By the end of last year, they just thought he was a lackey for the front office. And so for Bob to go in there, it's completely changed that clubhouse and the feel around it. And I think the same thing's happened with the Mets. You know, Buck walks in there with the resume that he has, and I think the players are responding to that.
All right, Buster, listen, you're the best. We appreciate you. And I got to apologize again for the music. And I promise you we will be better. I promise you this, that we'll be better next time.
Look, it just can't be worse. Let's face it. Thanks, guys.
We appreciate it. That's, of course, Buster Olney. I mean, he is so down on Santiago.
Hates him.
So down on Santiago.
I wouldn't be surprised if Santiago gets a phone call this afternoon.
I got to be honest, it hurts.
I mean, Buster has tremendous. Now, he's a lovely man.
You could say what you want about me. Buster Olney? That cuts deep.
And he has a lot of clout. And I think he makes two calls and you're out.
You won't miss me.
Oh, that's not true.
At the very least suspended. Very least suspended.
Dave would dance in the street.
No, that's not. You got a call from Ryan Hurley later saying, listen, this goes above and beyond me, but I have to kind of, you know, follow through on what I've been told, follow on orders. Raymond, you're suspended for the next 2 weeks for Buster, the way you treated
Buster gives the thumbs down, Roman Emperor style. You'll never see me again.
Like, not even like in life at all. You just vanished from the planet.
I'll be taken out.
Can't be worse.
This would take the whole numerous Busters.
I told you this, Dan and Shay. I told you they weren't good. Oh, they're so good. They drink tequila. They're phenomenal.
But I didn't tell them. I didn't tell them play all of it every time.
Even you admit it was a bit much, right?
No, I stand by my guy, but I mean, just
I tried to see how far I could take it,
and yeah, obviously, Buster, you took it way too far.
Buster needs a little extra when he comes on the show.
For Ray.
You turn the guests off.
Sounds like you don't have trustworthy chickens.
We don't. It's not like we have 50 guests to choose from. We're very specific with our guests. We have Mel Kiper Jr. We have Buster Olney. We have Mike Tenenbaum. If you're going to start to turn them off, we're going to have no guests ever.
Yeah, like I said, you'll get rid of me. You won't miss me. You'll never see me again. That's it.
You're the Adam Gold of producers right now is what you are.
That's terrible. How dare you?
For those of you that didn't hear, I was on a Raleigh radio station yesterday. I was asked a question that took 1 minute and 45 seconds from beginning to end.
Will you stop saying that? You did not get asked the question.
Did I get asked a question at all? No. I don't even remember. I think by the end of that rambling, there was a question. No?
No.
No, by the end of it, you just butted in.
So he never asked a question?
Never.
Well, here, we can start it. This
Pesci
is long,
gets
so.
That first one. What does the rest of the game look like? I don't know. I think Carolina is a break from winning on the road, and I think the same thing about the Rangers.
This is already 90 seconds in, by the way.
From winning on the road. The fact that no home team has lost a game yet in this series, to me, is it's just a fluke. It's going to happen at
some
point.
It's like his brain is starting to
act. Hopefully it happens tomorrow night.
Look at how beaten down you are.
Like, well, I mean, I was bored, to be quite honest with you.
Hopefully it happens tonight.
Tomorrow night.
You should have started singing. I stand by what I said.
You know what? Next time, maybe I'll go on next time, and I'll just start my tequila song.
You want to drink some tequila?
Yeah, he'll be like, and then Pesci had a chance, and I just, you want to drink some tequila? Right, I'll really liven up the interview. Really liven it up.
I just think he had you beaten down to that point where you were done.
Listen, are they even playing tomorrow? I don't even care. You know what? I just hope the Hurricanes win. Just enough, Uncle. Enough.
take the series. Just let
all right, yeah.
Up.
Just please take the series. Just please don't have me on again. All right, so. What do you think? Rangers tonight. Rangers win?
No, I think Carolina holds serve tonight.
Oh, come on.
A tight game, close game. I think they hold serve, though.
2-1 Rangers tonight.
Oh, 2-1.
2-1 Rangers
big game.
Tonight.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Write that down. 2-1 Rangers tonight. So you think close? You think like 3-2 Canes, like something very tight?
I think it's a close game, yeah.
They've all been. All right, outside of game four. Santi, let's see. I mean, as per Buster Olney, dreadful today. Let's see if you can pick it up a little bit.
Today's three stars. Number three.
I take great offense to what you said, but I'll continue anyway. Today we learned that Dave's dogs don't respect him at all. Rick, you said that they lost respect for him. I maintain that they never had respect for him. We also learned that the shot collars don't actually work. Maybe this is karma for what you're doing to them. Get a fence, Dave. Just get a regular fence.
Well, let's just get a fence. We'll build a moat. I mean, we don't have endless amounts of money, Ray.
I get dragons.
I'm sure you can afford a fence.
Well, you got a new bath fitter.
Same. New bath fitter, new fence.
Do you need a new bath? How about a fence fitter?
Number two. Oh,
you know what? We should get a fence company.
Yes, get a fence fitter.
That? Sales!
Well, I'll tell you what, because it goes into star number two. Maybe you can take applications for it, because that's another thing we learned today. The company takes applications, which is wild to me. I understand that we've got a fan base and we appreciate the people that listen to the show. I don't know that people need to fill out a questionnaire to be allowed to be considered great fans of the show. If you're a fan of the show, you're a fan of the show.
No, you've never
and
been
I appreciate,
more wrong.
And I appreciate
no,
you.
To be in the upper echelon fan, you have to have certain knowledge of the show. And that's what the company
does. I'll
tell
you what. When those people start getting meters, I'll give them a little bit more clout.
Number one.
And, of course, the return of Singing Dave.
You want to drink some tequila? Let's have tequila together.
You know, Rick opened today's show by calling you David Lee Rothenberg, which I think is probably the persona that you need to go with for these things. But I wish you had done this 24 hours earlier. Then we can use this in the open, but we'll do it next Thursday. How about that, Rick?
I'm sure You Want to Drink Some Tequila is not dead.
You want to drink some tequila?
By any stretch. All right. You know, I'd love to drink some tequila with our next guest. He's on KJM, and he made Keyshawn fall down today as they were working on their basketball game. He is the great Jay Williams. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, guys. What's up, brothers? Can we start this conversation off by what kind of tequila are we having now? Because this is a very important question, Dave.
Man, you don't drink tequila. Stop yourself.
What are you talking about, Rick?
Yeah, you have a Zima. You know it. I know
it. Oh, my really?
See? And you joined him in attacking me yesterday, Jay. Maybe you feel badly about that now.
Now I'm being double teamed, and I feel very uncomfortable right now, frankly, to be honest with you. I don't like to be double. Well.
Oh, please. Come on. Don't fall for it, Strap. He's trapping you. It's a sting. Don't fall for it.
I'm married. Leave me alone, Rick. Don't get in my relationship. Leave me alone. Anyway, that's awkward. Back to tequila.
Forget about the
tequila. You guys like?
Keyshawn fall down. I mean, you guys are going to crush them
on track. Well, Key was out here yesterday. We're down at 99 The Fan in North Carolina in Raleigh, and Key had to run some routes yesterday for some contestant winners. And by the fifth route, he was really out of breath. It was kind of it made me worry about the conditioning factor for our 2-on-2 game. But by the way, I got to tell you guys, like, Key literally throwing a football on his knees 30 yards easily was like some alien stuff. I've used to seeing like quarterbacks do that during the combine and things of that sort. But seeing a wide receiver do that with ease, I'm like, okay, you're next level. And then Key decided to come over to my world, to Cameron Indoor Stadium. And we played some one-on-one. I showed him that I could shoot the ball without really getting a running start from the free throw line. I made a big shot on the first try. And then we played some one-on-one, and Key's knees almost tore off the bone, and the rest is history.
I don't like this for you guys.
But why not?
Like, you embarrassed them now.
Well, because Allen and Bart are not dribbling the ball like me, Rick. They cannot move like me. That's the biggest takeaway. It's not Key falling. It's that Allen and Bart can't move like that. So I think we're in a good position.
No, I'm just saying that I think it puts a lot of pressure on you now because you've embarrassed Key. You crossed him up. He falls down. He's already a little doughy, so I can't trust his cardio. Like, you know, I mean, Bart hasn't skipped a neck day in 25 years.
But what does neck day have to do with legs?
What does that have to do with anything? What's he going to do, headbutt him?
He's going to get physical. Yeah, he's going to get physical because what Allen lacked in quad, Bart makes up in neck. They're a dynamic duo.
So Bart's neck compensates for Allen's quads.
I would guarantee you right now that if before the game you measured the thickness of Bart's neck as opposed to the thickness of Allen's quad, Bart's neck is thicker. Guaranteed. Promise. Yeah,
I need you guys. I need your help. Strategy wise, because Bart's going to try to get physical with me. So I'm going to try to get Key to screen so I can get the Allen Hahn matchup that I want. We're going to target Allen Hahn the same way Luka gets targeted during the playoffs.
Yeah. The high pick and roll, I think, would be very effective for you guys.
Yes. I like that, coach. That's a good one, coach.
Agree. By the way, for the record, and you could tell anybody, I don't care. I'm rooting for you guys.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. Dave, have you figured out what the Centurion card is yet?
Yeah, I do, but I don't want to.
Does it make you feel uncomfortable talking about it?
It does. It makes me a little
uncomfortable. It feels like it makes him, like his palms get sweaty.
He gets squeamish.
Yeah, Rick, see, I feel like you're part of the culture, Dave. We have to work on this.
That's right.
Yep,
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Jay, you have a show you have to get back to?
Yeah, we're talking about the Nets. We're talking about whether Kyrie will sign and why the Nets have not heard from Kevin Durant since the season has ended. And is that a good thing or a bad thing, Dave?
What a shock. Ooh. Dysfunction with Brooklyn. We look nice forward piece. To it in just seconds here on 98.7. Have a great day, Jeff.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
He's terrific. He really is. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg and...
Let's go Rangers.
On 98.7.
You want to drink some tequila?
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.